Layoffs would send exactly the wrong message to our kids. And, you know, we tell them, work hard, play by the rules. You can rise as far as your talents will take you. And yet Albany rules say that when it comes to teaching, talent doesn't matter, results don't matter. The only thing that matters is how long you've been in the system. And I say enough with Albany rules.
That, obviously, Mayor Bloomberg, yesterday at the Christian Cultural Center in Brooklyn. The mayor put Governor Cuomo on notice, if you will, a day ahead of the governor's New York State budget proposal. The mayor wants to change the last-in, first-out law that requires teacher layoffs be based on seniority over merit. WNYC political blogger Ozzie Paber is here with me now to talk about this brewing face-off over teachers between the mayor and Albany, also New York property taxes, where Governor Cuomo seems to be trying to pull sort of a legislative fast one today and more. Hey, Ozzie.
Hello.
So in your Empire blog at empire.wnyc.org, you outline what happened Sunday. We have a link to that on our website as well. But for listeners who missed it, give us a quick recap over this fight over teachers.
Right now, there's a state law that says if there's going to be layoffs of teachers, it is done by seniority, not by any, what the mayor would say, objective standard as to how good they are. So when the mayor looks at Albany and sees a cut in funding, he turns around and says that's going to mean layoffs. But he's arguing that his hands are tied and that he doesn't have any leeway in deciding which teachers to stay. And he's always argued that the best way to turn around the school system is by putting a well-qualified, prepared teacher in the front of the classroom. And this is going to hamper his ability to do that, is his argument.
And listeners, we've talked about this topic before, but push is coming to shove. So let's take some calls on this. Teachers, if you're off today for any reason or anyone else, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And let's look at some of these eye-popping numbers, at least the way the mayor is putting them out, and tell me if this is just, you know, negotiating bluster or what. But the mayor says under the current state law, he could be forced to lay off every teacher hired by the city over the last 5 years. And that would be what, 15,000, 20,000 teachers?
He said 15,000 teachers. It's mm-hmm. it's a nice big number he likes to throw out there just to get people's mind wrapped around.
And
the
just
issue.
On the scope of what that actually is, there are, I think, about 80,000 New York City school teachers.
Sounds
is that
right.
Number right? I think it's 80 or a little more than 80. But taking 15,000 away from 80,000, if that's really what happened, oh my God.
Right. And he's also said, you know, it's every teacher hired in the last 5 years is another way he likes to put it. And what people will normally say is, wow, that's going to increase class sizes. Well, if you've listened to the mayor, you know, over the last couple of years, he's always downplayed that as a factor impacting school teachers' ability to teach and student performance. He's always said, pay teachers well, make them qualified, hold them to high standards, but it doesn't really matter if it's 25 or 32 kids in a class.
And now all of a sudden he's coming to the class size matters point of view in arguing against the seniority rules.
Right. Well, what he's saying is you can have a bit of class size growth, but what you can't do is have an unqualified or a subpar teacher. And he's saying that some of the newer teachers who are coming in are more energized, are more eager to try new things. And sometimes they're just better than other teachers who have sort of skated by for a couple of years.
Now, with the governor about to give his budget address tomorrow, is this kind of a two-pronged attack by the mayor? On the one hand, asking the governor to get the legislature to ease these rules, but at the same token saying, Governor Cuomo, please spare New York as much as possible in your school aid cuts.
Right. It's always a delicate balancing act. How a mayor has to somehow advocate for the city as a whole, but then turn around and say, well, these cuts are coming down the pipeline and there's nothing I can do about it. So here's where I'm left to stand. And it's sort of similar to what Cuomo is saying. He comes out and says there's a national economic decline. The state has for years spent way too much money, and I'm coming in and there's not much that I can do other than enact these very drastic cuts.
How is the relationship between Mayor Bloomberg and Governor Cuomo?
That pause is me trying to find the right way to say it. I would characterize it as polite at the moment, and they have not fired any shots at one another. Bloomberg did come out this weekend and sort of made his case in front of a church in Brooklyn that is applying somewhat more pressure onto Cuomo. But these are two astute politicians who know that they are in a tough economic situation, which doesn't allow them to hand out favors to people and to support popular social programs. But I think what you're seeing now is Bloomberg latching onto the fiscal crisis that Cuomo is handling and saying, this is the opportunity for me to possibly get things that I may not be able to get in a couple of years. If the governor is going to be making these drastic cuts, this is the perfect time to argue that we should ease these teacher seniority rules so that I can lay off the teachers that I want to rather than the latest ones hired.
WNYC political blogger Ozzie Pabra, as we talk about the mayor, the governor, the teachers union, and the budget. The mayor saying he'd have to lay off 15,000 teachers, all the teachers hired in the last 5 years, unless Albany changes the law that requires last in, first out. In other words, if they can lay off some older, more experienced, more expensive teachers, they'll get to keep more teachers and have smaller class size. We're going to go to our totally jammed phone lines here in just a minute, and don't even call unless you hear somebody finish up, because all our lines are full at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. But a quick reminder that coming up in about 15 minutes, we will be doing a segment called Egypt 101, and we have an Egypt 101 page at our politics website. It's freecountry.org. We're gathering your questions about Egypt, less maybe politics of the moment and more your basic questions about the country and the players in the current crisis. We're collecting them now, and we will follow up with an Egypt expert in about 15 minutes. So anything you want to ask about the current situation or Egypt in general, as this obviously is what is galvanizing the world today, go to itsafreecountry.org and you can post your question right there. Meanwhile, Michael in Lower Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Ryan, Michael, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I love your show.
Thank you.
As far as Bloomberg, I admire his disposition that he thinks we need youth and a sense of enthusiasm in the classroom. But isn't he indirectly saying that the Board of Ed is not doing an efficient job if we're allowing incompetent teachers or less than competent teachers to stay on the payroll?
I understand what you're saying, but there's a difference. You lay off people who are qualified. Right, they're not talking about firing people because of incompetence. They're talking about competent, qualified people who have to be laid off as opposed to fired, because they don't have enough money. So unfortunately, that's when you start cutting the muscle and not the fat. So thank you, Michael. Let's go to Aaron in Fort Greene. You're on WNYC. Hello, Aaron.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call. I'm going to try and be brief because I have so much to say about this, but I teach peripatetically. I'm a musician who does a little music teaching on the side.
Okay.
I've been into a good 20 of the poorest public schools in the city, from the Bronx to Flatlands to Bed-Stuy, and I've seen clearly that the best teachers are the older teachers. You don't stay in this profession for 20 years unless you like it. There's no way you get out. The few bad teachers I've seen, who have been a tiny number, they're not there the next year, because you do not stay in this if you don't like kids and you're not committed. So I think there's just this incredibly misguided conversation that the problem with schools is bad teachers. You can look at the reality is, if we just took white and Asian kids, America is still pretty much the top of the international tree. There are deeper, deeper problems in the teachers.
Right.
And I think it's very boring. I'd also say local property taxes, which should be equal funding, not local property taxes, that builds in disadvantage from the beginning.
Thank you very much, because property taxes are based on how much the property values are worth, and we get certainly disparities in education funding from town to town that way. Another point of view from Ray in Harlem. Hi, Ray. Thank you so much for calling.
Hi. Actually, my point of view is similar to your last caller. I get so angry at all the segments on blaming the teachers for our economic and talking about the older, burnt-out teachers that are skating by, because My wife has been teaching for 22 years. Her mother has been a principal for 27 years in the New York school system, and they are not skating by. And I know at both of those schools, plus many other schools I've been to, there are so many good teachers out there, and they're not skating by. They're working their butts off day in and day out.
Can I ask you, if you know, what your mother-in-law's point of view on this is as a 27-year principal, in that principal's position? Is she hungry to get the rule revoked so that she could keep the teachers who she, as the principal, is what Mayor Bloomberg likes to call the CEO of a school, keep the teachers who she thinks are the best?
My mother-in-law is in a particularly good school where she founded the school, and she works her best to keep good teachers there. And, her teachers especially, no teacher stays there that's not going to work, because they see all the other teachers working, and if they're not capable of keeping up with everyone else, they just don't stay.
Ray, thank you very much. You know what's different about this, Ozzie, than anything I've seen before? The argument isn't even really about which teachers are better and whether the older teachers tend to be burned out and the younger teachers are fresher or vice versa. This is about money. And the head of the teachers union, Michael Mulgrew, was here the other day saying, people, what are we saying here? You know, that this is strictly an economic decision. You're going to lay off higher paid workers, experienced teachers, just to save money. And now the mayor is coming out and saying, yes, that's exactly what I'm proposing. I don't think I've ever seen that quite like that before.
It's interesting. And the mayor for years has tried to sort of change the way the city employs its municipal workforce to bring it more in line with the private sector. He favors salary increases, which a lot of unions like, but then he is loath to put the city on a long-term plan to, which makes them obligated to sort of pay out in terms of liabilities like pensions. Pension reform is one of his big causes at the moment, and he's hoping that Governor Cuomo will aid in this thing. And what you're seeing is an attempt to sort of reinvent in ways the way that the city employs its municipal workforce.
And, of course, I guess if pressed, the mayor would probably say, well, I'm not saying the principal should lay off only older teachers and save the maximum amount of money.
Right.
They should just have the leeway to say, if my best teacher is a young teacher and my worst teacher is an older teacher, that I should have the individual leeway.
Right. And he's, you know, a technocratic guy. He loves the ability to see numbers and rate things. We now have restaurants getting graded. You know, we have 311, and he likes to report the data about how long a phone call comes in. He loves being able to just look at a system and say, what are the numbers to enumerate who's good, who's bad, how are we doing? And, you know, grading teachers is another thing that he wants to do, reveal and make public how each teacher is graded on a number of factors. So this is in line with his overall philosophy. And if it happens to enable him to free up who gets laid off and who doesn't, so be it.
With WNYC political blogger Ozzie Pabra, Michelle in Westchester. You're on WNYC. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, I am a six-year teacher. I've been in three states in 6 years. I've been a victim of this law every year, and I am okay with this law. I think it's necessary. It gives me a mentor every year who has 20-plus years of experience. And yes, I look shiny and new and great, and the kids love me because I'm the newest thing, but that does not make me a better teacher. It just makes me cheaper.
Wow. So you're a young teacher who thinks well of your own abilities. I think it's coming through in your voice. You've been laid off three times in three states under last
hire.
Six times.
Every year, three states.
Every year you're getting laid off.
Mm-hmm.
And still you support the seniority system.
Absolutely. How am I supposed to learn if I don't have somebody there to teach me? Who's going to be left? And I've worked in a school district in North Carolina where I was the senior most person with 4 years of experience, and that school was so poorly run, I would never wish that on anybody else.
Hmm. You may be struggling by as an annually laid-off music teacher, but you
mm-hmm.
could probably make a lot of money recording commercials for the UFT. Michelle, thank you very much.
Thanks.
That is something. We have a few minutes left. Ozzie, let's turn to the budget.
Yes.
The governor's budget proposals come out tomorrow. This is the day that everybody's waiting for. He's laid out some of the principles of how he's going to distribute pain with a $10 billion deficit. But tomorrow come the real numbers. And he seems to be trying to slip something in even before that, because he's given his 2% property tax cap bill to the state Senate to vote on today. What kind of maneuver is that?
One that is very shrewd. The state legislature has a rule saying bills that come up for a vote have to be aged for a certain number of time before they get voted on, prospectively giving lawmakers time to actually read the legislation before they vote on it. It's kind of embarrassing that they actually need to have this in law, but such is the way things are.
What a concept. Read the bill before you vote.
Amazing. So now, in order to have the bill voted on by today or this morning, it had to be submitted by Friday. And it got submitted reportedly at 11 p.m. when nobody was around. So what – but this is legislation that Cuomo has been talking about on the campaign trail and since being governor. So it was not entirely a surprise, although he did not apparently give word to the Assembly Democrats that this was coming in, which was a bit of a surprise. Now, the capping of property taxes is a key point to Cuomo's overall financial plan to bring spending in the state down. He has tried so far to say no new taxes, and he does not want to renew the surcharge on people making over $200,000, saying that New York doesn't have a future if it's the capital of taxation. And capping property taxes, he finds it as a way to help bring in the cost of what is going out the door financially. So Republicans in the state Senate are going to pass this. So by the time that Cuomo gets up to deliver his numbers tomorrow in his first budget presentation, he will have a key component of it already out the door in one part of, in one chamber, and that applies just so much more pressure to the Assembly Democrats to get this thing done.
So the Republican-controlled Senate likes the idea of a property tax cap. The Democratic-controlled Assembly doesn't like it. Why the difference?
The difference is, you could argue, the teachers' union. And the idea that how sacred you hold education and education finance. The Republican State Senate has argued that property taxes are through the roof. They're too painful, and people actually move away because of this, therefore depleting your tax base and eroding the kind of community that you're building, schools included. So therefore, taxes have to be cut down. Assembly Democrats are saying if you starve – and shut down the flow of money to schools through property taxes, what you're going to do is make schools worse, and therefore no one is going to want to be around. So therefore, to preserve this jewel that's actually bringing people to our communities that they want, you need to adequately fund schools, and that means paying for it, and the people who are earning a little bit more can pay their quote-unquote fair share.
All right. Well, if we can peel our eyes off Egypt for 10 minutes. Tomorrow's going to be a big, big day in New York.
Hopefully not as violent.
Indeed. Maybe in rhetoric. With Governor Cuomo coming out with his budget proposals, budget address, of course, we will cover it. WNYC political blogger Ozzie Pabura. You can read his Empire blog at WNYC.org. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And coming up next, Egypt 101. We've been collecting your questions on our politics website. It's a freecountry.org. You can still post them, and we'll take them on the phone now, too, at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Considering what's going on over there, everything you always wanted to know about Egypt, or suddenly want to know about Egypt, and had no one to ask, we will provide you with someone to ask. Everything you want to know about Egypt 101, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692.